ain't what it do with the business is.
It's another week in the books with the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holla at your boy Animal Brown, the retired vegetarian, a.k.a. Andre Drumstick, a.k.a. Don Lemon Pepper.
Don Lemon Pepper. You got to stick to one of those. The Andre Drumstick just completely stepped on the Don Lemon Pepper because that's fire.
Right? Those are both fire. Fuck that.
In separate uses, maybe. Together on top of each other. Pause. They're not good. What's up, man? This is the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou on all your favorite social media sites. Well, just Twitter and Instagram, really.
Where absolutely, man. Follow your boy Animal underscore Brown on Twitter and Instagram and Snap. Man, episode 348, man. Moving right along, man. What we got?
Yeah, we're building it up, man. Before we get into it, how's your quarantine going? You know, we got to get people a weekly update. They ain't seen our faces, so
for sure. Nah, quarantine cool, man. We were just talking before we started. I asked when will you feel 100% comfortable to go to a sit down restaurant? Mm. You said
and
September.
I told you, in September, and that's like, eh.
Yeah.
And both of us agree it ain't really like I'm not in fear of getting it. Not saying that I can't, but
right.
I just don't. I'm not there for the experience. I ain't here for the post-corona, everybody in the mask in the restaurant.
Yeah,
gonna put your pen in a bucket to sign something. Like, I'm good, bro. I can eat at home. What about you?
Yeah, it's probably along them same lines. I'm not in a hurry. Again, I'm not on some germaphobe, scared to go outside because I'm going to get sick. I just want to feel comfortable. And going out to eat is about the ambiance, in addition to obviously the food and shit. But like going to a movie or going to a game or going to eat, like that, it's not gonna feel the same. It's some slaw. I'll wait till they get back a little more closer to normal.
What do you think in your mind? What do you think that's gonna be?
Oh man,
you don't got no idea.
Nah, it's gonna be a minute, though. I think it's gonna be at least through 2020. It's gonna be this awkward. Half the restaurant sit over here, half sit over here. Everything gonna be weird through at least 2020.
Yeah, that's some slow.
At least.
Yeah, they just had a press conference. We both in Atlanta. They were talking about they running everything May 31st, like clubs, everything, bars is back open.
Oh wow.
May 30th or whatever, however many days May has in it. The governor was just on TV talking about running. Hey.
Maybe shit'll speed up quicker than I thought then, but I'm straight though.
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm definitely cool out there. But as you were saying, episode 348 of the On Deck TV podcast. Again, I am Spike Lou. On today's show, we're talking about Cam'ron being in talks with the studio for Paid in Full 2. XXL debates on the most loyal fan bases out there. And we're going to give you a preview, as only the On Deck TV podcast can, of the upcoming versus battle between Nelly and Ludacris. But first, your mans, and I really have to emphasize your mans in this. Your mans, Tekashi, drops a new song and video. He allegedly broke the YouTube record with his new song. The title escapes me right now because I have not been following it. Meek spoke out against him coming out and garnering all of this attention post snitching, and Meek vows to destroy Tekashi 6ix9ine. Tekashi was spotted in his relocation by a fan on Snapchat. All of this stuff swirling around him. What are you taking away from the return of your man Tekashi 6ix9ine, Daniel?
Young Daniel, man, listen, Tekashi did a press conference on IG Live, dropped a video. He took trolling to unprecedented levels over this weekend, dude. He did the IG Live apologizing for snitching, but not really. Things kind of pretty much unfolded as I imagined they would. I thought he would do numbers the first day out, and he did. He broke that YouTube 24-hour streaming record for a hip-hop artist previously held by Eminem. And then he had 2 million viewers watching his Instagram Live, which was another record. Listen, dude, like Meek's personal vendetta, I'm going to focus on that part of it. Meek's personal vendetta, while I understand his perspective, he's saying that what you're doing is you're getting people locked up, and I'm on the other side of that trying to get people out. Like, you're completely making a mockery of the culture. And I understand that, and actually am on his side in that thought. I just don't think that this is the way to go about getting him either getting rid of him or lessening his impact. I think the way you do that is by ignoring him and not giving him press and attention. Every time you mention his name, he is going to use that as fuel to put himself in the limelight and be relevant again and give headlines. The second you ignore him or don't pay attention to him, then he doesn't get those headlines and the trolling stops, basically. You know what I'm saying? Or at least begins to slow down. So that's the most interesting part of an eventful weekend for Tekashi 6ix9ine, to say the least.
Yeah. And when you say... when you're talking about me, you're talking about him addressing him. You don't have to do that. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think he has to make it his life's mission, apparently, which he is on right now.
To destroy him,
quote unquote. To destroy him. I think that's bringing too much attention to it, although I understand the temptation to do so.
I think that Meek Mill is too caught up in this destroy thing, similar to what you said. A person like Tekashi 6ix9ine, to me, is not a threat to the culture. People are trying to paint this thing as to where he snitched, he shouldn't be accepted. He's already written his ticket out of the culture when this whole thing came along. And he essentially threw his hands up and was like, you know what, I was just playing. I'm done with this. I ain't going to jail. I'm telling on these niggas like, y'all got me fucked up. I'm not a part of this. To me, that's what he said when he snitched. And for me, I ain't trying to play no super gangster or anything of that nature, but from how I was raised, once he threw his hands up and said that, there's nothing else that I need to hear from him. I don't need to hear his IG apologize, and I don't need to check in and see if it's entertaining. I don't need to do any of that. And like I said, I'm not portraying to be some Al Capone-type gangster either. Mm-hmm. But Meek, he seems to be cut from a cloth similar, like a lot of people in the rap game say, well, this guy shouldn't be accepted. And my point to all that is, I don't think he is accepted, like you said, if we don't pay attention to it. If Meek Mill is focused on getting people out of jail, then why does Tekashi even come across your screen? Like you said, you're adding fuel to this man's fire by even speaking on him and making it your life's mission to destroy him. The last time Meek Mill vowed to destroy someone was Drake, and we seen what happened. Now, I just don't think that Tekashi is a big enough threat to the culture, to anything other than his fan base and his bubble to go after, to have to destroy. That's on them 9 trade niggas or whoever that he was fucking with to get him off the streets. Like, they've already, like, the associations and what he's did, that affected them already. Yeah, it's unfortunate that people got locked up behind him, but everybody know what they signed up for when they get in this shit. They signed up for it and they got involved with a rat. They ended up in jail. It ain't Meek Mill's job to defend that. It ain't the streets' job to defend that. The streets are the streets. It ain't nobody coming to save, like, ain't nobody coming to kill George Zimmerman. Ain't nobody coming to get Tekashi off IG Live, because the streets is not an actual thing that's able to allocate and make you move. So people, I think, are totally misconstrued when they say this affects the culture or he shouldn't be able to do this. He can do whatever the hell he wants to as long as he's making money in a capitalistic society like America.
No, that's true, but people take hip-hop seriously, man. So when people infiltrate it, whether that's, you know, what fucking Vanilla Ice or, you know what I'm saying, or when people come and make jokes and make parodies of it, man, people are going to start being like, hey, man, what are you doing? I saw a throwback clip of LL Cool J surfacing over the week when he talked about the Beastie Boys back in the day, when he was like, yo, the Beastie Boys are pulling these antics at their shows, getting the police called and all of that. It's making it harder for artists like me who not doing that shit to perform, because now the police look at them as rappers and they look at rappers in that same blanket statement. Mm. And then he was like, that is fucking it up for me. It was a throwback clip, probably from the early 90s, late 80s. And I think that stuff like that can apply to this. People, we know what's up, but he's not making a mockery of it to us because we already know. He's making a mockery of it to the people who don't know and who look at him and then look at Meek Mill and think that they're doing the same thing or that they're in the same game. That's where the problem comes in. And when you empower someone like a Tekashi, who you see where his head is at, he's doing shit only for the money. He basically sold his soul to be accepted, whether that was with a blue rag or a red rag, however which way possible. He sold his soul to do what he's doing. And people like that, you need to be aware of, and you need to be weary of. And the people outside the culture don't separate him from a Meek Mill. They're going to put Tekashi 6ix9ine and Jay-Z in the same sentence, bro. Like, dead ass, because they're going to think all their rappers, it's the same thing. No, that's a clown show, and people need to know that that's a clown show. This over here is real culture, real rap. This is what needs to get promoted. That nigga right there needs to get discarded. That's what he's trying to, in my opinion, that's what he's trying to say. And that's the point that's important to get across for people outside of the culture to understand.
And that's fair. And what I think the culture has to understand, and what the culture, quote unquote, has to catch up with, is how the game is ran now. And when I'm talking about the game, I ain't talking about the streets. I'm talking about rap. Rap is algorithms. Sports has turned into analytics. Everything is algorithms and analytics now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to call Daniel a rapper and put him in the same sentence as Jay-Z is like saying Michael Jordan was a basketball player and so was Kendrick Perkins. Well, in a sense, that's true. That's absolutely true that both of them are basketball players, but people that know basketball know the difference between the two. So when we're talking about the culture, we have to approach it with a knowledge of knowing the difference between the two. And that's my beef or my pick, the bone that I have to pick with Meek Mill. He knows the difference between the two because he's on the side of it that's authentic.
Yeah, but so the people outside that the culture are the one that's cutting the checks, bro.
And that's my point. You have to know the difference between the two. I ain't knocking Tekashi being able to get 2 million people on IG. If that's what he's able to do and somebody going to pay him for that, that's great. But Meek Mill ain't got to respond to that and say, oh, you raping the culture, because he's not. He getting a check from somebody that ain't a part of the culture either. How we pay people is with our acceptance, with our attention. And if you start giving him all of this attention, like, for instance, when we were doing our researches for this show, if you Google hip-hop news, just Google that, and you click on Hip-Hop Wire. The first 18 posts on Hip-Hop Wire are all random, but six of them, excuse me, are about Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Right.
That's 30% of their first post. 30% of the page is dedicated to Tekashi because you said it. He brings in money. Meek Mill knows that that ain't hip-hop, though. He knows the difference between the business at this point and hip-hop and the culture. And to muddy the waters and start attacking him and saying, oh, this ain't good for the culture, that confuses people like what you're saying. That's when people start not able to tell the two between a Jay-Z and Tekashi, because someone like Meek Mill is responding to a Tekashi as if he's built up the same clout as a Jay-Z or even someone who is in this culture that has done the things. All Tekashi has done is put up numbers. And that's cool if you want to make money, but if you're talking about being a part of this culture, it's something else that comes with it. That's why we're so hard on culture vultures, and that's why...
Exactly.
And I don't think that Daniel has ever proven that he came with that other part of it. So for Meek Mill to say, well, hey, man, you're ruining the culture. Like, nah, all he did was got in with some blood niggas. You listen to the podcast. He got in with some blood niggas. He snitched on some niggas. He got out of jail, and now he's back doing what he's doing with the rep that he built off those niggas. Okay. I'm not offended by that.
This is a monkey see, monkey do, like, just existence that we have. Okay. There are going to be copycats who think that's how you get on, my nigga.
So do you believe, and if you're saying that, so you're saying that you believe that Tekashi is a threat because people will try to emulate what he did, get cool with a crew, snitch on their crew, and now people like...
No, I'm saying just it may not end the same way as him. It may end worse, but mm-hmm. they'll do something. They're troll. At the end of the day, it's trolling in whatever form or fashion it takes on.
But it ain't the trolling. It's not the trolling that people are mad at him for, though. It's not the trolling. Like, you can troll. Like, you can be a troll. It's the snitching that people are claiming that they're so upset about and trying to tie that into the culture. You can troll all you want to. What I'm saying is, go ahead.
They were hot. People weren't really. People of a Meek Mill weren't fucking with him to begin with because they knew what it would be. You could see the shuck from 10 miles away. And you could see that he had people fooled, specifically kids. That's the thing. His audience is kids. They don't know what the shuck is, dude. Like they don't know that.
They grow up, though. And the more attention you pay to this dude when you're Meek Mill, the more light you put on him and able people to put you in the same class. But these people that are listening to him, they're going to grow out of him for this simple reason. Like, snitching ain't just a black hip-hop thing. Like, that's universal. Like, all kids are raised not to be tattletales, and you're supposed to do something about them. Like, that's the whole thing behind the Karens and that word being offensive now. Like, snitching ain't cool wherever you are. So that will catch up to him once those people that are listening to him now and think that he's a rebel and he's a renegade and they listen to him because he's different, they're going to grow up and they're going to see the snitching ain't cool either. So it ain't just a hip-hop thing. Also, too, is why I think that Meek Mill taking that stance is weird. Like, you focused on the wrong thing. Like, Tekashi had a good point, if I dare say. You're like, bro, you just had a baby. Why are you worried about me?
That's a troll. That's not a point. That's a troll.
That's a point, though. The thing about a good troll, the thing about a good troll, if people think about it, they're like, well, this nigga do got a point. As much as I hate the nigga, he does have a point. I got a brand new baby on Meek Mill. I'm working on prison reform. I got all this stuff going on. And I got billionaire numbers in my phone. I can call and get shit off my chest. If I got a real beef with and wanting to change some shit, I can have conversations with important people. Why am I talking to Tekashi? If I have the option to talk to Jay-Z and Bob Kraft, and I don't even know the owner of the Sixers name, but those persons' numbers are even in my phone and I can text them, I don't even have a reason to acknowledge that Tekashi exists,
because
it ain't
reasons.
Saving the culture.
But before we move on, I thought it was interesting that he ended up getting made, so to speak, at his damn hideaway. The nigga was out on the balcony of his hideaway in Long Island taking pictures in a bright rainbow-colored jogging suit with his hair. The neighbor behind him noticed him, put it on social media. Niggas driving down the street noticed him, put the address on social media. The fucking police had to come in and get him out and relocate him again. And they're probably going to be like, man, if you don't sit the fuck down, dude, because he still think it's a game. And maybe it is. We'll see. We will see if it's still a
and
game,
And that goes to part of what I'm talking about. See, the culture and what we're thinking about and saying this ain't a game and you shouldn't be snitching. Like, he don't know any of that. Because he's a kid that grew up in a corner store, like working for his dad or whatever it was they said. Like, you heard the podcast just like I heard it. He may have a perception of how dangerous it could be, but he don't believe the Fat Meat Greasy. None of that stuff applies to him because he wasn't born and he don't know what this is. He's just like,
he's
literally,
to know it now, my nigga. He's been locked up.
He's not, he still obviously doesn't.
He's
like literally an actor. Like, damn, man, I didn't know this shit was like for real. This shit I seen on like Viceland and Gangland or whatever it is on A&E. He doesn't still understand like the repercussions of that. And I don't think that's for Meek Mill to explain to him. That's for that nigga to find out on his own. Let him keep, the best thing that this nigga can do is continue to do what he's doing, then boom. It catch up with
things.
That's the best thing. Keep pulling them 2 million in. Keep going out. Keep thinking it's sweet. Keep letting people see you on the balcony, wear your colored hair. Keep doing that. Keep thinking it's cool. And then boom. You get what you've been looking for. That's the best thing that can happen to him.
I don't know about that. But real quick, before we move on to this next topic, we do have to give an RIP. Forgot to mention this at the beginning. We're going to have to give an RIP to Andre Harrell, Betty Wright, and Lil Richard, all music icons over the weekend. That was a rough weekend, number one.
Yeah, man. That was really rough.
Rest in peace to all three of those legends.
Our condolences to them, the family, the friends. Puff Daddy put out a long speech in remembrance of Andre Harrell, who started, was it Uptown?
Yep.
Started Uptown Records. Very pivotal in the career of guys like Puff Daddy, Betty Wright, of course. When she did the song with Cali lately, it brought her back into the limelight, but she was a beast before then with what she did. And Lil Richard, of course, Lil Richard.
Rough weekend, man.
Yes, man.
2020 just gone, hit the reset button. Wild times going on right now. Moving on, though, man. Let's talk BMF. A prominent member of the Black Mafia family is home.
It was you and Big Meech brought the Tigers in.
Oh, my God. BMF co-founder Southwest T has been granted an early release due to the coronavirus outbreak and will finish the remainder of his sentence in home confinement. Now, 50 Cent has been pretty close with the BMF members since announcing plans to bring their story to the small screen. Upon T's release, Fifth has been taunting Puff, Irv Gotti, and even Jeezy on IG about either money owed to Southwest T or a lack of support in Jeezy's case. Should 50 sit this one out?
Absolutely not. This is what you hire 50 Cent for if you BMF and you want your story told. Before the pen gets to the pad, not to write it, not to produce it, but the whole everything surrounding it. Because little, like we were talking about previously, in and out of the culture, some people may not know who Southwest T is. Some people may not know what BMF had going on. We're talking about 15 years ago.
For sure.
At the latest. So they see 50 Cent, who's still relatively popular, Jeezy and Puff, and they're like, well, what is this? What is this situation that 50 is talking about when this guy just got out of jail and these big names don't have money? At the very least, is going to spark interest in people who may not have been that interested, and that's great for 50's TV show. And that's what he does. Like, that's 50. I wouldn't expect anything less. So I think 100% that's why you hire him on. What do you think?
First of all, we're at worst 2 years away from the first episode of the BMF show on Stars. That's
facts.
Best the rollout, case scenario.
Though. It's the rollout, though. It's going to, you think this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Dude.
50 got big shit planned for these niggas, man. Jeezy might have to pull up on him.
He is claiming,
Jeezy might have to go back to the old Jeezy. Like, if 50 just like really think it's shit sweet.
He is claiming that Jeezy didn't really support him. He is claiming that Irv Gotti owes him $1 million. He's claiming that Puff owes him money.
Come on with it.
Now, two of those three have been settled according to his Instagram. He went on Instagram and said that Jeezy and T spoke and that's good to go. And then that Puff and T spoke and that's good to go. But he's still on level 10 with Irv Gotti about him saying that he owed him money. Man, dude. Like, this
boy,
shit
that's
is
funny.
Tired, dog. Like, 50
no, it's not.
Is inserting himself. When did he become the lawyer for BMF, dude? When did he become the
rapper?
I didn't know this.
50 niggas for his money. 50, first of all, quit trying to play dumb. 50's been running up on niggas about owing money for at least a year on Instagram. This is clear. And he run with the, you know, he got the rights to the BMF stuff. This is all marketing. And see, this is the difference between someone from the culture like 50 that's trolling, and people may not like it, but it's not gonna come off as disrespectful or anything because he understands what he's doing. He know the right people to fuck with. He has a concept of what's going on with the culture, so he can do this. He can get away with it. It can be funny to some people, distasteful to others, but at least it's gonna draw genuine interest. The difference with Tekashi is he has no idea, no context. He can't, like, he don't know, like, telling YG, a real nigga, like, hey, you a bitch ass nigga. Like, you don't know the repercussions. Like, you don't know that he really, like, running with real niggas. Like, and now you got this whole shit, a situation with your gang of friends that you can't handle. So, I think that's the difference. 50 knows exactly what he's doing, man. 50 is of this culture. He creates these type of stirrances. His career is built on this. No one's going to fuck with BMF if 50. I mean, like, no one ain't coming for BMF and saying fuck 50 and BMF if he come to them wrong. Like, 50, he's playing a chess game.
This is played out.
You can,
dude,
say in response to this. How is it played out? Tekashi does it.
This is
his
IG cool
live.
Tekashi is half the 50 is old enough to be Tekashi's dad, first
but
of all.
But like you said, it makes money. What we here for, to make money, right?
No, we're not even sure if the BMF show is actually happening, dude. It's been all talk.
That's my point. This is to make sure that it happens. This is 50 doubling down. I'm with these niggas. I know T. So next time I'm the nigga that's going in these offices and having these discussions about TV shows because I made power. I need this. This is leverage for 50.
That's some slow. For
like,
the record,
the more people start talking about this on Instagram and the more fights that he pick, that's what's gonna stick out when he's in the office having the negotiations about getting the money to get this started. I love it.
The for the reference to Southwest T is Big Meech's brother. For anyone who did not know, Big Meech is pretty much like the face of BMF. That's the name that kind of everybody knows that isn't necessarily familiar with the run that they had. what we got next, man?
Next week, there's a great book on BMF called The Rise and Fall of the Black Mafia Family. It's a really good book. You should probably check that out if you want to know more about them. It's very detailed.
Yeah, that's a dope-ass book.
Next, we got your man's Killer Cam. Cameron Giles is back in the news. Mr. Pink himself claims that there are talks of a Paid in Full Part 2. He said he got a homeboy up at the studio where the part one was made. And since Harvey Weinstein's out of there, he's willing to do business with them. And they've been in light discussions about a Paid in Full too. My question to you is, Paid in Full one of those hood classes that you leave alone, or are you here for a part two?
Listen, so he was on Instagram Live and he was quoted as saying, I don't want to say 100% yes, but we're definitely in talks about doing something similar to Paid in Full one. It's definitely a conversation. It's 100% the conversation, that is. I pray that it stays in the conversation and doesn't leave the little bullshit boardroom or Zoom meeting that they were in. Put a stop to that shit right now, dude. There has not been one, I'm talking about one successful hip-hop sequel in the history of life. Have we not learned from Belly 2? I Got the Hook Up 2? Nigga, Choices 2?
I Got the Hook Up 2, one good.
All of these movies suck, bro.
People like State Property too, though.
What?
Yeah, people like State Property though.
I don't believe that. State Property 1 is cool.
State Property 2 is a cult hood class.
No, the album, boy, album's fire. The movie is trash.
Yeah.
These don't work, man. No, this need to stay in conversation. This is bored quarantine talk. I will not pay this any attention. This will never see the light of day. No one's going to start filming anything for at least 6 months anywhere, much less Paid in Full too. So this won't happen, and I have my fingers and toes crossed that it doesn't.
That's funny. The thing about Paid in Full and why it was good, it's based on a true story. And we were talking the other day in the group chat about the documentary for Paid in Full, the Game Over, where sisters talking about what going on in comparison to the movies. For me, what made Paid in Full a classic is it being based on that true story. Mm. And even if it's loosely based, the moment you start to stray away from that true story, you start going and Paid in Full too, and what would have happened with Reed, like, I'm good. I am 100% good. Though I feel like Cameron is creative enough to make a good hood movie in comparison to Paid in Full, I don't think the Paid in Full is the answer. Yeah, man, I ain't gonna judge the nigga off Killer Seats. Mm-hmm. I think the Cameron is creative enough to be able to put something together, but I don't want it to be Paid in Full too, because Paid in Full was it. That was a good hood story. It wasn't perfect. It was great. It's one to be told, a cautionary tale, if you would say. And I don't think it needs to be touched at all. You start doing shit like Belly 2 and things like that, they seem like money grabs. There's no real storytelling or art to it. Nah, I'm not here for it. That at all.
It's the low-hanging fruit, man. I'm not here for reboots. I'm not here for sequels 15 years later. They, traditionally speaking, they don't work. Every once in a while, it may work. Bad Boys 3 or 4 or whatever, which one just came out, I was entertained by that. Cool. That was a cool little movie, dude. But I don't need the, hey, let's wake up and remake the best thing I've ever done. Like, no, bruh. Too much time on their hands. Cameron got people in his basement doing jump ropes with their titties falling out and shit. Like, the nigga's bored, bro. He's fucking bored out of his mind, just like the rest of us. But let's not go crazy off of the shit, dude. We don't need a Paid in Full 2. I don't care who's in it. I don't care what production company signs on. I don't need it. It's a bad idea. Come up with something original, and then we can maybe talk about something. But, like, let's leave that alone, man. Do not fuck up the legacy of Paid in Full. It's a classic, probably the last great hood movie, if we're being honest. And let's not fuck that up, man. That's all I'm saying.
What Cameron should be working on is a Dipset documentary. I'm here for that all day and twice on Sunday.
That's a fact. I'm here for that.
Together, man, let's run it. I want to know about how he got hooked like Dame. I want to know about the whole Rockefeller run, the beef with Jay, tension, all of that, the good stories. Get Juelz in there, get Jimmy in there. The Dipset doc I would much rather see over the Paid in Full 2.
I'm here for that all day long. Before we get to this break, XXL, man, I came across an article on XXL that named rappers with the most dedicated fan bases. Now, artists listed where Nicki Minaj, Eminem, Playboi Carti, amongst a few others. Who to you has the most dedicated fan base?
Right now, to this day, I say it's Uzi. I've never seen, like, even with the, just today, to put a timestamp on when we record this, I seen the video of him doing a freestyle with the kid at the gas station.
For sure.
And when the nigga was walking past the school bus shit, and they was like, shit, what you doing out here? And nigga was like, shit, I don't know. Like, Uzi just come off like a regular nigga, and that translates so well to his fans, and then he makes such great music. Like, how I gauge it also, all the kids fuck with him. He's like the god for them. But even on social media, if I'm on Twitter, like, I don't follow Uzi. I don't even know what his tag shit is. But somehow, miraculously, I don't even follow kids that should be listening to them. There's no way that Lil Uzi should be on my timeline, but every day, there's some Lil Uzi shit on my timeline. Maybe because I follow some rap blogs or whatever it may be, and they got a report on it. But
for sure,
it's just always some type of engagement. Like, he always, like, his fans always, like, ride for him, even if he's giving out, like, a very minimal input. So I would definitely say it's Uzi. Who you say?
So I would say, number one, excluding a couple of the people that they named, Nicki Minaj, we know how her barbs and all, we know about that. We know about Eminem. A nigga literally broke into his house to meet him and shit. Like, we know what he owned.
Two houses.
Two cribs a nigga broke into. He literally has stands. He created the damn word for it. So, excluding them, I would have to go, number one for me is Travis Scott for the most dedicated fan bases. Anything he puts out right now, anything, shoes, t-shirts, Fortnite, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup cereal, nigga, it doesn't matter, dude. They come out in drones to support him. If you look at his Netflix documentary, the Look Mom, I Can Fly, that came out, I don't know if that's early this year or late last year, his fans were acting like he was Michael Jackson when he was pulling up to the shows, dude. Like people were passing out in audiences and shit, bro. Like, he's worked hard to hone in on that fan experience by, like, doing different things, like bringing people on stage to crowd surf or giving his jewelry away or some shit at the show. Like, he's done little things like that and put in work and has the quality material to match. And it's worked. And his fans ride or die for him. They come out and draw. No matter what he puts out, it doesn't matter. His shoes sell out instantly. Resale is nuts. Merch goes crazy. It doesn't matter, man. They support whatever he got going on. And I think he's got the most dedicated fan base, excluding Nicki Minaj and Eminem. Mm. Easy call. Close second would be Future, too, though. I think Future High.
and that got a lot to do with hate, though. I think a lot of people follow and keep up with Future just to hate, just to call him toxic. Like, even now with the baby mama stuff on Mother's Day, people were hating on that. Then it seems like it's a rollout that he found out that he had another baby mother. Like, I think that people follow Future just to, yeah, it's crazy. But I think the Future is fueled in hate. Kanye's pretty big up there.
That's
true. Y'all stands have gotten him to a place with them ugly shoes and clothes, the way he think he's a god. So I say Kanye and the Drake stands. Like, you Drake stands as well. Like, you're a Drake and a Kanye stand. Those are my number two and three. And the reason I say Drake fans is this. You can't just give Drake credit if you ain't, like, a stan. Like, you guys that love Drake, y'all can't believe that people, like, ain't head over heels about his music. Like, if somebody be like, that's cool. Somebody can be like, that's cool. Y'all be like, what? It's cool. So I think tough. Drake can't release cool music to his fans. He thinks it's a banger to y'all.
You touched on this when you mentioned Future. You said that you said that there's hate, but I think that in Future's case, I think this may be similar. When Drake fans see people hating on him so much, they double down and triple down on the support to offset what they feel is unwarranted hate. And I think that's what people do for Future as well, because people take shots at Future for being toxic or for his situations with, glorifying drug use or pop the molly, I'm sweating, or whatever the fuck. People people go at him for that, and so his fans feel like they got to go harder to defend him. I am in the Realville group chat right now. People are telling me that he's never missed. That is a fucking lie. Have you not heard the Honest album? It is fucking trash. Yet, in Steel, I am getting replied with 5 fire emojis for his clearly worst project ever. No, bro. Future's worst project is not 5 fire emojis, my nigga. Like, stop.
They're going to ride with the music regardless. Future fans are going to ride with the music. Like, he can't make a bad song. Like, Drake can't do anything bad for you guys, but you're right about the future. Like, he can't make a bad, like, it ain't a bad bar.
And that's complete horseshit. Fuck out of here. But nah, that's a good one, though. All those fan bases are, those are ride or die.
The fact that you guys are still there with Kanye is amazing to me.
What are you talking about? Why wouldn't you be there?
I was out at the Dark Twisted Fantasy, but that's me.
That's not true. Not true. That's just not. That's why we go hard for bullshit statements.
That's why
I was out there.
But.
All right, man. We got a new battle coming up this weekend, man. Topic time.
Yes.
Fresh off of the first R&B ladies battle with Erykah Badu and Jill Scott. First off, did you check that out?
Absolutely not.
Now,
and this is me. I love Erykah Badu personality.
You got some shit.
And some songs, and I like Jill Scott too. I like, but I'm not here for that. That's over my head with the chakras and like all of that stuff. I'm good.
I said in a group chat that I was gonna be sleep for that, and then niggas was like, "Oh, what are you talking about? What do you mean they're legends? What are you talking about?" And while the battle is going on, I saw nothing but sleep emojis in the group chat. Oh, now niggas is bored. Oh, now you see what I was talking about a week ago when this shit got announced and I said I was skipping it. Now we shocked. Fuck out of here, dude. They both have catalogs and fire music, but for a battle, it's not entertaining, bro.
People are starting to see that it ain't just the music that's going to make these battles good. And we touched on it a little bit when we talked about Babyface and Teddy Riley. It's the persona.
It's like the stage presence, even in a battle.
The reason that Hit Boy and Boy Wonder, am I talking with them right too?
For
Hit
sure.
Boy and Boy Wonder. The reason that them niggas was funny is because of their personalities. Like condescending, like taking little shots at each other. The shit was funny when the Dream was doing it. Like, you got to know how to entertain 500,000 people. And I'm not saying that those ladies don't in the setting of doing concerts and making great material there. But something as personal and intimate as IG Live where you got to be quick and witty. Like, I don't just think they ain't here for it. Can't do it. Erykah Badu ain't here to entertain you niggas on IG.
That's a
like,
fact.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that we're going to have a good opportunity here with this is the first time we've had rappers do it, right? Like, when it's been on Versus. I think this is a good opportunity for these guys to be showmen. Like, I'm a Nelly fan, so I wouldn't mind him coming in a little cocky and talking a little shit to Ludacris, and I'm sure Ludacris wouldn't respond because he's not, like, some simp. I'm sure he would respond to it. I think that would be entertaining. Not on no beef shit, but just right. Like, yeah, my nigga, I'm here.
And that's what I wanted to ask. Like, the Love Fest between Erykah Badu and Jill Scott was cute.
Yeah.
That's cool. Girl power, all of that. That's cool. It's not entertaining for the kid now.
Nah. I want to see the nigga that's out there like Jordan. Like, we've been watching this Last Dance, dog. I want to see the person that come to the IG Live versus ready to bite the other person head off. Yeah, exactly. We can play game. I came to win, my nigga.
With that being
said, I want to see that person.
Is the when you first saw this matchup, moving on to the Nelly and the Luda matchup, when you first saw that this was live and this was a real thing, do you think it's a good matchup just on paper?
Yeah, this ain't bad. I think that their genres of hip hop are closely enough aligned for if Ludacris plays something that Nelly could match it because it was in the same space at the same sort of times geared toward the same type of people. I couldn't see like Ludacris going against T.I.
That's what the internet was wanting.
Yeah, and that's why I brought that up. It's two different styles of music. And people can say that Ludacris is a better rapper, and people can say that he sold more, but the songs that are gonna get the crowd going with T.I. plays are different from the songs like that Ludacris can play. Not to say that one's better than the other, it's just that you need two different settings for like them two guys to get off. I don't think you need two different settings for a Ludacris and a Nelly to get off. That's in the same vein right there. If we talking about T.I., we talking about Jeezy. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about something like Ross, maybe Wayne or something like that, because that's of the same vein. They were talking about the same stuff. Similar, it's similar to, in that nature. And the people are gonna get excited. I think that's a big key to what we were talking about with entertaining. The people get excited for the same type and style of songs. Like if T.I. come in and play some hard, dope ass trap shit, and then Ludacris come in with stand up. It
yeah,
don't
it's not
mean
gonna
that,
hit the same.
Yeah, it just ain't gonna hit the same. Like stand up, dope in its own right. But if T.I. come in with some dope ass shit off one of them mixtapes of Down with the King, and everybody fuck with it, and it was like a hood classic. Like it just ain't gonna. It ain't fair.
Now, and plus, people are really just dying for Ludacris and T.I. to just do something.
People
we've
just
been
want to see
talking
that fight.
About
yeah, we talk about the interview. Like
yeah,
people want
we've been
them to address that.
He needs to get on the Expeditiously podcast. Everybody just dying to see them together doing something. I get it. I understand
Facts.
That.
And T.I. has continuously said, he said it on the last Expeditiously. I can't remember who he was talking to. Lil Duval. He said the problem always, people think it was between him and Ludacris. It was between T.I. and I-20.
The Cruz. Yeah.
T.I. and I-20 more than anything.
With that being said, on paper, when I first saw it, I thought this was a good matchup. Like you said, same time frame, early 2000s. They were pretty much hot at the same time. The nostalgia would definitely be there for, you know, the early ringtone rap days and shit. I'm looking forward to it. My question, the follow-up question that we kind of have written here is, who do you believe had the bigger impact during those Y2K times? Was it Nelly or Luda?
I may be a little biased.
Oh, of course. Shit.
Nah, I mean, it's not even the only thing you can be biased about this. It's Nelly.
Fuck.
Nelly had niggas wear Band-Aids and Air Force Ones. I don't see any clothing. Focal is what Nelly had on Apple Bottoms. Like, Nelly was a tidal wave. And Ludacris, he was big. And he had an impact. But he was really more so a dope rapper. And his impact was his music. More of a cultural impact, I would definitely say Cornell Haynes.
Nelly's impact was bigger. It had the bigger splash. He had the bigger splash. His debut album went 10 times platinum. We can't say that about too many rappers. When your first joint goes diamond, that's nuts. He had 3 top 10 singles on the first album. You can't talk 2000 hip hop without mentioning Country Grammar. That's just a matter. That's just a fact of the matter. But with that being said, Luda's impact lasted longer, though. It wasn't as splashy, but it lasted longer. Nelly was hot from 2000 to about 04. Luda was hot from 2000 to 2010. He doubled
That's
up on
not
his
true.
Run.
That's not true. Ludacris,
what?
Ludacris was releasing music from 2000 to 2010. If we want to talk about hot, maybe 2004, 5, when the nigga started doing the Fast and Furious movies, it was OV.
Are you serious?
Like, yes, absolutely. Like, if we talking about impactful Ludacris albums, we're talking about Back for the First Time. Okay. We talk about Word of Mouth. Okay. We could talk about Chicken and Beer. All right. And
his album went number one
it.
In 2010, dude. And he had a hit single. What are you talking
Battle
about? My
sexes.
Chick Bad will get played Saturday night. Are you serious?
Oh, my fucking God. This nigga said this will get played. Ludacris in 2010 was no longer an impact, though. Like, we talking about...
I just said his run. His run ended in 2010. This was it. He hasn't had a hit since, but he had a hit in 2010,
his
and
run
the album went number
ended.
One.
His run ended when he put out Chicken after the Red Light District.
He got nominated for a Grammy on Release Therapy, and it went 1.3. What are you talking about?
That don't mean nothing.
What are you talking to me? About?
I don't care nothing about him being nominated for a Grammy.
What? You have to include that therapy, in the run. Release Therapy,
Theater of Mind, Battle of the Sexes, and Ludoversal are not included in his run.
Ludoversal is absolutely.
Tell me whatever you want to tell me about the Grammys, about him selling 1.3 million. That's the same bullshit argument you make for DMX and that Great Depression album. Fam, I don't care what the numbers say. I seen this shit with my eyes. That nigga was dead in these streets.
My Chick Bad is a hit, dude. And it's going to get played.
Because of the remix.
Listen, Nelly will not play anything post-2004. Not one song, bro. Watch.
That's how good he is. Anybody want to place bets on that? He don't have to.
How?
He don't have to post anything past 2004. He can still win.
Oh, my God. Luda is going to be posting shit from 2010. He's going to be playing shit from 2010.
Shit that you and only the people that looked at Fast and the Furious heard.
We the only niggas that heard my chick bad.
You keep referencing my chick bad like it's fucking successful or something.
I'm just
dude.
Saying it's one it's song. My I'm just chick giving bad. One example of one song.
I don't even remember that song.
Oh,
let me
God.
Google my chick bad. Who was on this?
It How was does him that go? And Nicki Minaj.
Ah, okay. So it's Nicki Minaj's song. No. Got it. That's the cheat code. Now that I look it up, I see it. My Chick Bad official video, Nicki. So let me tell you what this was. This was a older star who had to fulfill his last album or whatever it was on his deal. And the biggest star in the game right then, Nicki, he was able to get her on a feature. And then he got one more in there.
And it's like, I don't care the logistics.
My Chick Bad is like Joe Montana with the Chiefs. It's like Jordan with the Wizards.
Stop.
That's what My Chick Bad is, dude. That ain't part of a run. You don't include that. It's like Emmitt Smith with the Cardinals.
DJ Khaled, All I Do Is Win, he was on. That was 2010.
That was DJ Khaled's song.
No one was calling Nelly for features. That's what I'm telling you, dude.
And fam,
Ludacris' phone was still ringing.
Listen, this is when DJ Khaled could only get Ludacris.
Oh, my God.
This nigga wanted any day. He wanted T.I. He wanted Plies. He wanted all these other people. And they were like, shit, you can get Luda?
Oh my God.
I gotta take Ludacris? Yes, my nigga, because you Khaled and this will help you right now. Because he's on his way down, you on your way up. Y'all might as well meet right here. All right, boom, you got Ludacris feature. Come on, man. Ludacris was done in 2011.
He was done.
You give it in 5 years too, man. It's just basic. Because you like Fast and Furious, and I understand that. That's cool.
Look, looking at the discographies, though. Looking at the discographies, who has the better discography between the two?
All right, so the tail of the tape, Nelly got 7 studio albums, Ludacris has 9. Mm. All right. Nelly came out the gate, sold 10 million with Country Grammar. If I had a preferred discography, this like ain't even close. It's Nelly.
Oh, my fucking God.
Like Ludacris doesn't have an album better than Nellyville, first of all. And then
what?
Ludacris doesn't have an album better than Nellyville. And Country Grammar, if we added all of their CDs up to, excuse me, all of their albums up together, it may be Nellyville 1, Country Grammar 2. So if he got the top 2 albums in the discography, he has the best discography.
But he doesn't have any. Nelly has the worst material out of the two. He's got the bottom 3. M.O., Brass Knuckles.
I don't even know what M.O. is. That M.O. album.
5.0.
I didn't know there was a M.O.
Nigga,
album.
These albums were trash, bro. These were legitimate. Worldwide released LPs, dude. And they were fucking garbage. Ludacris' last album, that Ludaversal, is fucking garbage. He's got one fucking garbage album. Nelly has 3. And a possible with the sweat or suit, depending on how you feel about it.
And Ludacris still had the Def Jam money, too.
What does that have to do with anything? What are we talking about?
The albums were still good because they were Def Jam albums. Nelly was on Motown. for his last 3 albums. This nigga making doo-wops, dude. What the fuck is going on? They got this nigga in the studio with the Temptations trying to make hits in 2008. So, listen, I mean, if we're talking about quantity, I would take Ludacris' discography. But I'm going to be real with you, man. I ain't being a T.I. fan more than anything. It ain't even more so about Nelly. I never got into Ludacris. one reason being that, and two reasons, it's just like very animated. That ain't my style.
That's how he started. He did start off animated.
Didn't he finish that way?
Nah, his last two, I mean, those, that Theater of the Mind and Release Therapy were a little bit more on the serious tilt. That's when you started to get War with God and stuff like that.
The War with God is banging.
Yeah, that's fire. He wouldn't have never put that on them first couple. Like, it wouldn't even fit. You think he'll play that? He's not going to play that, though. Is he?
Hell no. T.I. pull up and hit him in his jaw, dude. He play that shit. Nigga play that dope-ass T.I. diss. Hey, you know, Nelly, his man, still. T.I. going to be in the room.
Are we sure that was about T.I.?
Yeah, because at the end, he said, do like your song, say and stay. Well, at the end of it, I think it was a T.I. diss. I have to listen to
he
it.
He said, do like your record, say or shut the fuck up. But I don't know what that what he was talking about, though.
Stand up. Well, that's no, excuse me. Dun, 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 dun. I think he was talking about bring them out. Do like your record saying bring them out or shut the fuck up. Listen back to that verse. I think he was talking about T.I.
I ain't gonna bring lie, that's my question. If I got into an elevator tomorrow, which I wouldn't because no elevators are working right now, but if I was and I saw Luda, I would say, bro, I got to ask you one question off the record, and then I would clearly go on the podcast the next day and say everything. But I would say, definitely who were you talking about when you said do like your record say or shut the fuck up? What record were you talking about and who was the artist? I need that answer for the culture. And he needs to actually say that during Saturday's battle. Like that's what would make it dope. When you get the stories behind the records, and I don't need a long, drawn out step-by-step, play-by-play of the story. But when you give little tidbits about records, or you almost had this person on there, but this shit fell through, or you recorded this in, I don't know, fucking Marvin Gaye's old studio, whatever, we need the little tidbits and the stories in between the records, dude. And this would be the perfect time to be like, man, look, I done squashed this with my brother. We cool now, you know what I'm saying? But when we was going at it, this record right here was aimed at so-and-so, and this is what I meant by what I said. This will make this shit legendary. That's what make these verses things so dope, if you give tidbits and little-known rap history facts. That's what I'm here for.
I agree with you, and that's a fact. I think that Nelly is capable of that, and Ludacris, too. Ludacris is a pretty entertaining dude, regardless of how I feel about his music. I do think that he's a very talented brother, so I agree. Those stories or the insight to the songs, that is 1,000,000% the shit that make it fire and even make you go back and listen to it. So I 100% agree with you there.
If you look at Nelly's discography, honestly, though, his is more in line with 50 Cent. Like, they came out the gate strong.
That ain't a bad comparison.
I ain't even trying to be funny or nothing, but if you look at 50's, his first two are tough. And then it get a little tricky. Curtis, Before I Self-Destroy. Yeah. Like, niggas weren't really just fucking with them like that. For the level at which he came out the gate to where those are, it's night and day. It's the same thing with Nelly, bro. Country Grammar is up here. It's way That's up fair. Here. Nellyville is up there, too. But 5.0 and all that. Sweatsuit
is
cool.
Them, I ain't caping for Sweat or Suit or Brass.
Sweatsuit is okay, though.
Or That's 5. Okay. It's okay. But it ain't Nellyville or Country Grammar. When you got a Nellyville and Country Grammar, it's hard to put out 8 more years of CDs if you've seen. Yeah, I mean, you sold 16 million your first two. Same thing with 50. Yep. You're not even making an excuse for them. It's hard. Like, I could definitely see that as a fan. Now, I don't think though the catalogs match up, I don't think 50 and Nelly will work just because of what we were talking about earlier with 50 and the picking. And then, like, I don't think Nelly that type of nigga that's finna go for it. Just like we seen up on the Breakfast Club when he told Charlamagne, like Charlamagne always say, the scaredest he's ever been, the most scared he's ever been on Breakfast Club is wasn't the Fredro Starr shit, it wasn't the Birdman shit. He said it was when Nelly, he called Nelly cold and said he was cold out here. Yep. And Nelly was like, shit, we can square up. It's what I pay lawyers for. Like, Nelly told him, it's what I pay my lawyers for, my nigga. Like, you keep on talking, you're going to find out. And Charlamagne said, I felt like that he was going to do it. And I always gotten the same thing from Nelly, too. So I think that 50 don't have a good awareness of his surroundings. And yeah. I think that he'll go too far, and it'll turn into something totally different.
Yeah, now, Murphy
which would be entertaining. Listen, I definitely would be there to see it.
Listen, Murphy Lee told us Nelly wants all the smoke. All that. And I believed him. So I don't think that would work. We've been saying this since day one. It needs to be 50 on behalf of G Unit versus Cam on behalf of Dipset.
That's it. That's the main.
There's nothing else to talk
about.
All
day, every day, every time. And that's one of them where, like, both of them have a lack of awareness for the room. So it's just going to go jab for jab. I'm tuned in for every second of a 50 in Cam, G Unit, and Dipset.
So who do you got in this one? You know how it goes. It's 20 rounds. It's all bangers. Who do you got for the win? And do you have a score?
I say Nelly 13-7.
Get the fuck out of here, dude. Are you serious?
Smoke. Smoke. Y'all niggas got these ludicrous capes on. I cannot wait to when Nelly come wash him in the mouth and wash.
Here's the part that you're neglecting to consider.
I don't like Ludacris.
That's just hate.
Music.
You're thinking of solo shit. You have to remember the features that this nigga has been on when he was on fire. That's what you're leaving out. That's where I think he's going to hurt Nelly, bro. He's got bigger features than Nelly does.
That's true.
What is Nelly going to play? The fucking Tim McGraw song? Like, no.
He's going to play the song with Justin Timberlake.
What is that?
I think they got a song together. I'm not sure.
You know, I don't know. I don't even remember. I don't know what that is. That's my point. But Luda has big feature records, though, remixes. And features like that's a cheat code, but that's all allowed in this shit right here. And it's funny you bring up that these are the first rappers. I did not peep that.
It's tough.
It's been producers, writers.
Yep.
Well, you know what I'm saying? That's crazy.
R&B singers. Right. Listen, you got Nelly on Nasty Girl remix with Biggie and Diddy.
That's trash, bro.
Got him on What a Party At remix. Lose Control. Yeah, you know Nelly was on that What a Party At.
Was that Jagged Edge?
Yeah.
That went up.
And Lose Control with Carrie Hilson.
Stop.
Girlfriend remix with NSYNC.
Stop.
Call on Me, Janet Jackson. These features are some slow.
Hey, listen,
Call on Me, Janet Jackson.
Low key, that Call on Me was banging, but
I don't even remember that.
It's not gonna make no waves in a battle though. But that song was banging though.
Do you remember About That Life with Nelly, Fabulous, T-Pain, and K-Slay?
No.
And then Here I Am with him and Ross banging, though.
That's his song, though.
And it's a feature.
That's Nelly's song. You're right.
It's a Ross song. Yeah.
That's the one where he went at Irv Gotti. Yeah, you're right.
And, Shake Your Tail, fella. Grammy nominated.
Now, listen. I'll say this.
Oh, yeah.
When he plays Air Force Ones, just go ahead and give him the point for that.
Me too. Perry got to take his shoes off and everything. He got to wear the Air Force. It's like on a little necklace and shit. And see, niggas got to put the theater to it, too. Like, niggas got to show out. I want to see niggas, like, enjoy this shit.
And he got to pull out. That's what I'm saying. He's got to have some Air Force Ones on that we ain't never seen, though. Like,
true,
with the Saint Lunatics on the side and the fucking,
right, so
like,
about to cut
he got
to
do
true.
Shit like that, dude.
Yeah, niggas got entertained. You're right. That's why I would love to see Cam and 50 do this. I'd love to see Drake do this. I think Drake would love to do it. It just ain't he too big for it. But Drake would be an entertaining ass nigga doing this shit.
There's not a rapper walking this earth.
What?
Not a rapper breathing, walking this earth.
There's
that
nobody
could
step
that
could
into
do a
versus
with Drake.
Battle with Aubrey Drake Graham. There's not one.
Snoop. Let's go. 30 years of hits. You telling me with all the Snoop features, his hits, 30 years in the game that he can't do a versus with Drake?
Oh, shit.
Snoop can't do a versus with Drake.
No.
That's dope. That is a lie. That is a lie.
Hell no.
What about Pac? What if somebody was playing Pac shit?
So, but Pac couldn't do, no.
Are you telling me Pac couldn't go 20 songs with Drake?
No, bro.
Ah, that's it. That's it.
No.
We lost thousands of listeners. People are never tuning into this podcast again.
No, you couldn't, dude. It wouldn't
Pac,
work.
Tupac Shakur wouldn't win a versus battle against Drake.
No, bro.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Tupac and Biggie combined wouldn't win a versus battle against Drake.
Relax. We're moving on to the next segment. We out of here. You've been talking too much today or something. You're drunk. Clearly have been on the bomb, man. What was our liquor sponsor that we had? You've been on them gold bottles.
Man,
easy.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the bomb, man.
The Bombay. Shout out to the Bombay guys.
I had some of that yesterday. Mixed it with the orange juice. It was fire.
You clearly are still drinking it. Clearly, you got a full cup of that over there.
For the record, though, I've got Luda winning this 12-8.
That's similar to what I'm saying, but just the other way around, because you like Ludacris. You hate Nelly.
Yeah, he's some slaw. But that Janet Jackson song was banging. I'm going to listen to that when we get off.
I've never heard that.
Y'all let us know what y'all think, man. Who do y'all have winning the battle, and what's the score? You already know how we get down. Instagram Live, instant reaction as soon as it's over with. Hoping these niggas do this in a timely fashion so I'm not up past my fucking bedtime because I'm washed, even in quarantine.
They're going to do it on Saturday, aren't they?
Yes, I'm still washed. It doesn't matter.
You'd be up to 3 in the morning playing that Madden, getting practice rounds in. Getting them practice rounds in. You see that shit.
Shit, man. We got some wins and losses, dude.
We're going to the wins and the losses, man. This week, a big, fat L, in your opinion, not for me, to Lloyd Banks. He says 50 per 50 cents in his new book that Lloyd Banks did not use social media because the aforementioned Tupac and Biggie did not use it.
Oh, my God.
I don't believe this at all. 50 is like we were talking about earlier. 50 know how just to poke you in the right place and the right buttons. This sounds very funny, but I do not believe it. Lloyd Banks didn't tell him and literally mean Pac and Biggie don't got a Twitter, so I'm not using it. That couldn't have been a conversation. I don't believe it.
Listen, I'm currently listening to that book as we speak.
How is it?
It's so far so good. I'm on chapter 3. He like to throw little shots though.
Is it on Audible? I'm gonna go. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's him narrating it too. So, it's pretty solid so far. There's a little bit of promo in it. Like he mentioned that liquor that he got like 5 times in chapter 2. It's like okay, fam. And then he throw a little shot here and there. Like he just doing his 50 shit. But he's speaking some real shit so far. So far so good. With that being said, I haven't gotten to this part in the book, but I 100% believe it. It is consistent with everything else that he has said about Lloyd Banks. He mentioned that he was trying to get Banks to step out of his comfort zone in that mind frame that he was in of being holed up in the studio writing punchline after punchline every night, meanwhile while the world outside passes him by. He was trying to get him to buy into Instagram early and show more of his personality, man. Do a day in the life. Have a camera follow you. Make a documentary. Do something other than sit in the studio all day, nigga, trying to think of metaphors. And Lloyd Banks wouldn't fuck with it. And if you listen to Lloyd Banks, or if you've ever watched him in any type of interview, he's not here for any of that shit. So I believe that he literally said, man, Pac and Biggie didn't need that shit, so why do I? I believe it.
I don't believe that at all. And I heard an interesting take on this pertaining to their relationship. And I thought it was a good, I didn't think of it when I heard this. And it was like similar to what you're saying. The evidence is there throughout the years of what Lloyd Banks wanted to do. And listening to this clip, I haven't heard it in full. It sounds like the 50 Cent never had the conversation with Lloyd Banks as to what he wanted. It was always, you're the number two. You should do this way so you can be the next 50 Cent. How do we know that Lloyd Banks wanted to be the next 50 Cent? Who's to say that he didn't want to be sitting in the studio writing metaphors, cashing his checks that he was getting for that?
Because that don't last forever. 50 know that that don't last forever, dude.
And my point is, if he had the conversation with him and asked him, do you want this to last forever? Like, everybody wants to be famous and successful, but maybe he just wanted to make a lot of money, get that shit out of the way, and be able to live off of it. Not make another. Like, maybe that's what he wanted. And just from what I've seen from Lloyd Banks, what you're saying is the examples that you gave, I don't think that he wanted to be 50 Cent. He didn't want to be like the next star. He just wanted to be what he was. And he held you out.
I feel him. He was stuck in that mind frame of his way of thinking. And not everybody can have the 50 Cent mind frame. If that was the case, there'd be more 50s walking around. But I still think he didn't live up to his promise at all.
But he maybe was everything that he wanted to be.
Why did he get into the rap game, dude? Why don't just go
to make money,
work
bro?
Quick Trip, dude.
That you'll make the money that he made working at Quick Trip. It's like you saying, well, it's similar to what Jordan was saying in the docs. He referencing that, like, everybody don't want to be as good as you, my nigga.
That's cap, dude. Yes, they do.
No, they don't. That's hard for some people that are striving to be great to understand. I think I would agree. I don't know what you would say, but I think that 50 strives to be great. I've never seen anything from Lloyd Banks that said that. I've never seen something from Lloyd Banks that said he wanted to be great.
I don't know. I think the way he raps, bro, the way he put his shit together, he got pride in his
shit. He does. And that to me tells me that he enjoys rapping, not that he wants to be a successful superstar like 50 Cent. Mm-hmm.
So, we'll never know because that time has passed.
That is a fact. A W to George Watosky. George Watosky, he broke the Guinness's Book of World Records for the longest continuous freestyle. This guy went 33 hours, 33 minutes, and 33 seconds. He raised $140,000 for COVID relief. Shout out to George, man. How you feel about that?
Shout out to G. Watsky. If y'all want to see this, it is on YouTube.
Nobody wants to see this.
He rapped for 33 hours. First of all, staying awake for 33 hours straight is impressive. Rapping the entire time is super impressive. And then, you know, 140 bands for your efforts. Shout out to him. He basically, I watched a little bit because I had to get out of there because he wasn't really talking about nothing. But he literally freestyled, only taking bathroom breaks. The bathroom was right to the side of the camera, but he was rapping as he was taking bathroom breaks. So I don't know. He needs to get a deal with some type of energy drink company or something, dude. But shout out to him. 33 is my favorite number. So him doing 33 hours, 33 minutes, 33 seconds, that resonate with me. Shout out to G. Watsky, man.
Shout out to young George. It definitely ain't nothing to me. I could care less. But he is giving back for COVID. I'm here for that. And lastly, man, a big W to our boy, Lil Dicky. First got his spotlight here over at the On Deck TV podcast. He was a part of XXL's freshman class. We were very impressed with some of his videos and his creativity. And we even predicted that he would go on to bigger and better things as he has. The show Dave has been picked up for the second season on FX, averaging 5.3 million viewers in this past season per episode, in comparison to the popular FX Atlanta show that averaged 1.8 million viewers. Lil Dicky doing his thing, is he not?
Absolutely, man. Lil Dicky basically pulled off the white version of Atlanta, and it was funny, and it worked.
It did. And that's why I compared the numbers. No, I wasn't trying to shit on Childish Gambino there, but just give you a comparison of how successful it's doing in his first season.
Yeah, no, it's a very funny show. FX got two smashes on their hands with this and Atlanta. I think it'd actually be kind of cool if they brought it back at the same time, maybe like on a specific day of the week. They could be played back to back. I think that might be kind of cool.
They better not make us wait that long for Atlanta.
Oh, listen, due to COVID, it ain't no telling when this shit is even going to start back filming, much
less. I think
they
do with that third season, right? Because that was ready for release to all this shit happen.
Well, I'm talking about really both of them, honestly. Okay. I don't know when we're going to get that day, man. But I thought the last episode was genius. That was probably my favorite episode. I thought that was – I ain't going to lie. I thought the last episode was brilliant.
I ain't seen it yet. Don't spoil it for me. I have not watched it yet. I'm going to watch it tonight. Atlanta is set to come back for season 3. It is done, and it's going to be based around Paperboi going on tour.
Yep, because they ended with him going on the flight to the tour, to the show.
Okay. Because
he had the pistol on him at the airport.
Oh, God. I didn't even watch that. I got to finish that, too.
Damn.
It was something I got out of there on Atlanta the last season for something. I think it was a bullshit Drake party. Now, that was actually, that was funny.
Yeah, the Drake party episode was long.
I think I stopped watching it after the Drake party because I had no grasp of what was going on.
It wasn't worth stopping the show, but that episode wasn't.
It wasn't in protest. It was just like, oh, okay, damn, this wasn't funny. And I never checked it out again.
Well, niggas hate Drake that much, boy. Tough. Jesus Christ. Man.
Who you got for On Deck of the Week, man?
We got two, man. Shout out to T.I. and Killer Mike. They gave out food to 500 residents in the Grove Park neighborhood of Atlanta. Man, they also gave out several families $500 in cash and dropped off weeks worth of hygiene products and food. Triple salute to T.I. and Killer Mike.
That's dope. Put me on something for the week, man.
I'm going to say, also shout out to Killer Mike too. That Run of Jewels 4
That's comes being out released June 5th. 24 days.
I'm not looking forward to it though. You're counting down?
They dropped the countdown on the website that they released today.
You know, I'm not excited about that at all.
You be hating on my Killer Mike, though. Nah, Killer Jewel. You don't like Run the Jewels, but you like Yeezus, which is really weird.
Yeah, because I get that. Because without Yeezus, there is Kanye no Run the Stan. Jewels. But still.
No. This is better rapping and beats. It's what Kanye's trying to do.
Nah, that shit ain't nothing. Put you on something. I am going to switch it up. Not a lot of hip hop coming out right now. It's a little bit, but not a lot. I'm going to put you on some R&B shit. Kehlani album is fucking fire.
Cover nice.
It was good until it wasn't. This shit is banging. Shout out to Kehlani. I saw her on Breakfast Club. Watched a little bit of it. She talked about being in open relationships and shit. It was very interesting. She's a very interesting personality. She just got out of a relationship with YG. That's you've got to be interesting to fuck with a nigga with hard bottom shoes. So it's a really fire R&B album, though. She's underrated as an R&B singer, man. She puts out pretty good projects, but this shit is nuts.
I think she's properly rated. A lot of people like her.
Nah, not enough, though.
I'm going to put you on, man, during this quarantine. I want to shout out the creatives out there that have been doing their thing. One in particular, Drewski Too Funny. Y'all familiar with Desi, the guy from Atlanta that does his skits. You know how hood people be is usually the premise of his skits. This guy is from Atlanta, too, named Drewski Too Funny, Druski, the number two and funny.
He's funny.
I think he's funny. He's yeah. coming for the crown with Desi. He does a similar style comedy with the skits. Go check out his page, man. I've really been enjoying it. That shit has been hilarious.
Yeah.
So that's what my put on is, Drewski Too Funny's IG and Twitter.
Nah, he's funny. I ain't gonna lie. His shit funny. He ain't on Desi, though. You got him fucked up, but it's funny.
Nah, he ain't that yet, but he keep coming. He gonna get done. That shit funny. He did the football in the high school football game. Well, man, that shit was funny as hell. And Desi starting to get the equipment and the props and shit now, too. He gonna get out of here.
That budget
shout
up.
Out to those guys, man. I like seeing that, the grind and that.
Real quick, though, before we get out of here, I meant to ask this about the Nelly and the Ludacris shit. Mm-hmm. Who had the better camp? DTE or St. Lunatics?
Ooh, that's two batches of Basura right there.
It might be a wash in head. But now he had 2 Chainz.
Marvin Lee could rap. 2 Chainz, he wasn't in that at all. 2 Chainz was just a DTP for the check. He wasn't affiliated like I feel like everybody else was. But if we add 2 Chainz, it's still a wash. Because Murphy Lee, even though I bought that Murphy Lee album and that Ali, still remember the name Heavy Starch.
Oh my God.
Album. And Ali was banging. Don't do Ali like it. And Ali was banging.
Stop.
And that St. Lunatics was banging. So, yeah, we're talking about the music, though, because I bought that Heavy Starch.
Mm.
J Ho loved that Heavy Starch album.
That shit got
And I bought that Murphy Lee and I banged that St. Lunatics for at least 3-4 months. That shit was fire. That St. Lunatics. Have you remember that St. Lunatics album?
No, the St. Lunatics was cool. That was cool. Okay. That was cool. DTP had an album that was okay.
Trash.
Nah, it was okay.
Charlotte, the best person out of DTP.
She was hard. Her album was some slaw, but she was hard, though. Give me her and Play a Circle versus Ali and Murphy Lee. Like, nigga, stop.
Fuck out. Yeah, Keywan fucked up, nigga. I know all of the St. Lunatics. Keywan, Ali, Murphy Lee, Nelly. What the fuck?
Slow down. Yeah, that ain't nothing. That shit was That shit was trash.
No way.
I am looking forward to the battle, man. Again, y'all let us know who y'all think is going to get the W. Tune in on that TV podcast, man. Definitely going live as soon as it's over with. We appreciate y'all for hanging in here with us during these quarantine times.
Yeah, man, we'll be back to regularly scheduled programming as soon as possible. In the meantime, we really appreciate you bearing with us with the audio. Don't forget to go to the iTunes, rate, subscribe, like. That really helps us out as we strive to continue to grow this podcast and this brand. We definitely appreciate you guys listening. Check out the Patreon. Peace.
Yes, sir.